Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Foul Play Podcast. Episode 3 was, we had technical difficulties, and it cut 20 minutes after 20 minutes, and we're going to sort of do part 2 of episode 3 tonight, or we'll just call it episode 4. So if you haven't watched the show, please go to our YouTube page at Rollmongers Podcast Network, or check us out everywhere you can find your podcasts, and listen to the Foul Play Podcast, where there are 2.5, like good 3 episodes, or you're going to be completely lost, because we are going to jump right in. Gentlemen, when last we left, your benefactor, Res Largo, the gentleman who hides in the broken-down tea house behind the screens, had commissioned you to go and get taxes from the local tannery, and that turned into a real shit show. Eh? Eh? No? You don't get it? Because they put the leathers into manure? Never mind. The next day, after boozing it up, getting paid, and acquiring some masterwork weapons, the local little tough, Miss Roguish Simmery Stalish, still our contractor, our person that got you the job and still rolling with the party, loud and proud, has given you guys, via Res Largo, some sashes, some armbands that represent the Liege Lord, Archbaron Fex. You are to attend a downtown in the town square, a sermon that is going to be given by the High Priestess, the First Knight, Amalar of Imode. Arriving upon the scene, I wouldn't say late, the sermon hasn't started, but a small gathering of people have already gathered. It is rather obvious, because the town square has sort of, instead of the bustle and hustle and going, a lot of it has compacted around a well outside of this low gate that surrounds the entire church at 100-foot square radius. A little cute little graveyard on the side. To the west, houses and alleys. To the south, more houses and alleys. A straight line of a wide 100-foot path road through the center of town. Exits to the north, to the south. Out the side, out the east, it did not escape your notice that there are plenty of blind spots, alleys, and goods. Like, they even have, dare I say, a cart with wagon barrel loads of tar sitting unattended, because eagerly people just trust, yep, there they are. Sheriff Deputy Number 1 on the east wall, Sheriff Deputy Number 2 on the west wall, and sure enough, what looks to be the Lady Sheriff right on the actual church wall, hobnobbing closely, unlike the deputies, with the town folks that have gathered so far. The sermon hasn't started yet, but as you guys enter the square, it is very, very quickly apparent that the sheriff, who I will show you now, sees you guys and heads directly over, pulling up short in front of Simmery, of all people. She practically ignores you guys. Well, maybe she doesn't know you. You are from out of town. But she does seem to know Simmery. Simmery, how is my favorite niece doing?
I was just dandy, Aunt Rona.
Some shady folks you've been hanging around with lately, she says, look, practically insulting the players to their faces around, but a little under her breath, directly towards Simmery. Would you like me to introduce myself to your friends?
Not particularly.
I'm going to call for a sense motive check from the party, please. Here we go, a more intimidating picture.
A 19.
Six.
Calm out, don't be shy.
Six.
Calm out, unmuted, don't be shy.
I got a 2.
Okay. The woman is a decent height, wears studded leather armor, carries twin battle axes at her sides, has a longbow strapped to her back with a full quiver of arrows, the long acre symbol and denoting herself a sheriff proudly on her belt buckle, and is, in the moment, addressing Simmery. They seem close, more than just citizen and local sheriff. So, you're here for Sword Knight Alamar's sermon? I didn't think you were the religious sort.
Not likely, unless she's pulled the stick out of her robes and started worshipping Calistria.
The woman scowls at that. Simmery, can I have a bluff check, please? Since obviously you guys were sent by your benefactor to, address the sermon, as it were. And I shall roll some sense motive with my official, hell, vengeance, Paizo Dice. What'd you get there, Simri?
I'm rolling. It ain't working. Roll.
You can go old school with your private set if you want.
Oh, it'll work. There we go. 21.
21. Shout out to our sponsor, Fantasy Grounds, who has afforded us several of the Pathfinder First Edition books for us to play here in the Fantasy Grounds virtual tabletop setup, as well as a shout out to Devin Knight, who has supplied us with a plethora of very cool top-down minis. I'll do a quick little zoom in here. Really, really good artwork, and we will send you the links in these bios so you can check out their not only affordable, but talented artwork as well as products.
They're truly beautiful.
Yeah, they're really good stuff. Simri should know. She's actually an artist herself.
Oui, oui.
So, this tension, it's growing between these women, and I'm not talking about the kind of tension between law and you guys obviously representing disorder, overly familiar, possibly kin?
Well, she did say hi, Auntie. So,
what?
Yeah, but you ever go up to Sharp and go, okay, Dad, sure thing, Boomer. You know, but yeah, that's
no
implied. No.
No.
Go to your local law enforcement and say, hi, Auntie. See what happens to you. Did you hear what happened at the tannery last night? You wouldn't know anything about that, would you?
No. Should I?
Bluff check.
Chotto matte kudasai.
Getting serious now.
10.
And I do believe Simri affixed those sashes to several arms when you guys left the building. What's the story with those sashes, she says, pointing at your friends. Is the Archbaron someone, or someone other than under him, paying you to wear those?
Is it a crime to be patriotic?
Can I have another bluff check, please?
Not the way I'm rolling. Eh. I mean, 24.
All right. Well, I have to keep an eye on things here. You all stay out of trouble, you hear? And she turns on a heel and marches off, not really waiting for introductions. And returns to her position, which, sorry, I forgot to move her. So, zooming in on the party here on the map a little bit, we have a well, we have a pile of goods, or the ugliest town Christmas tree you've ever seen in your life. Gentlemen and lady, what do you do?
Come, let our presence be known. And then I'll, like, put my mask on and fold my burnt-up hands into my robe and move on into the middle of the crowd.
Tell me about this mask.
It's
the porcelain player's Phantom of the Opera kind of thing, or...?
Yes, but it's full face.
Okay, so it hides your mouth? Does it just have, like, the eye slots?
Yeah, so it's like that, like, porcelain face mask.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
plain,
I think,
porcelain face.
Yeah, or what was it? The Falk's mask? You're walking around with a Falk's mask?
Yeah, no, but similar effect, really, I guess.
Yeah. You just see the eyes and stuff. Garion and Tithe stand much taller than your average Joe. How big are you guys?
I'm average height, I guess. I don't know. Garion doesn't compare himself to other men because they are tiny. My own people, average. Yes, Garion is average.
I'll put it this way. Professor Cronin, the top of your crown of your educated head, how high up Garion's chest does it reach?
He's 7'10". The man is a small giant.
All right. Evading my question about your actual height, well played, sir. So, moving along, gentlemen, what do you wish to do? Just because you weren't asked to interfere directly doesn't mean you can't set yourself up near, afar, glad hand, jump on the edge of the well, find sniping positions, roll burning tar into town. I mean, the possibilities for evil are endless. However, our mission right now is simply make your presence and those sashes known to the people to remind them before, after, and during the serum, possibly. Who is their liege lord and loves them the most? What do you do?
Garion will walk up to little plebe here, and he points down at the meat on a stick. You gonna eat that? And he reaches down and just kind of plucks it out of his hand.
Okay.
Begins to eat this thing.
And then looks on, you know, eyes just kind of gazing around, just kind of seeing what's up.
Okay. You don't mean to be intimidating, so how about we just say you'll take a 10? You're like, you just roll on in there and it's like, you're just such an intimidating person, or do you actually have a mannerism about you going, oh, he's just another fantasy creature, they come through here all the time?
He's not invested in it, if that's what you're asking. He's got like a +3 to intimidate.
Okay. So basically, you can catch somebody off guard with your standard 13, which, yeah, makes little children cry. Old guys are like, hey, what the, you know, and then they just kind of like look up and they just kind of takes a step back and it's like, maybe I'll ask him for the money, or maybe I'll talk to the sheriff that's right there. Maybe. What are the rest of you guys doing? Well, Garen is committing petty thefts.
Could I aid in those petty thefts?
Sure. You could pay for the meat. That would be really helpful.
No. It is best not to make direct eye contact with him. He was kicked in the head by a mule when he was very young. He doesn't understand the intricacies of normal social contracts. I have deeply apologized, but do not make eye contact directly with him.
I just imagine that either you step out from behind, or anyone he interacts with, they like back into you, and you're just the soft hand on the shoulder. No, don't make any eye contact. He's just always there.
Both at the same time.
Oh, yeah, really. You step out.
What you thought was his shadow turned out.
No, that's awesome. You start on the shoulder, and like, you know, when they look to see who's talking to them, you kind of like step out from behind Gary and finishing off the talk about the specimen. That's good.
You feel a chill. Then you realize it's actually just a cold, moist hand.
All right. Can I have an intimidation or diplomacy as you serve? I'm assuming you're insinuating it's not really, you know, good for this man to follow up on his current line of thinking of, hey, that was my stuff and you took it.
Yeah.
Yep. Anatoly, Simri, Tithe, what are you guys up to?
Schmoozing with the crowd.
Garen is too. Got walking meat stick.
Walking past people.
Okay.
Hello, good afternoon. Lovely day.
Oh, look, Floyd, the cosplayers are in town. Right on. People are a little taken back if you, like, roll up on them and they haven't seen you walk up, you know? But this is Cheliax, the land of wonderful tyranny, where the state religion is actually Asmodian, the lawful evil devil god of contracts, is the state religion. So, you know, here in Lawnacre, people have seen some shit. Now, you guys also know, when you first came here to Lawnacre, that this town is sort of a bit of a drag town. A lot of mercenaries and warriors left over from the last war, a lot of people that disappear and don't want to be found, come here. It's a little off the grid. The town folk here they look like simpletons, but they do have sort of that wary eye about them. They've lived through some plagues, they've lived through Hell Knights stomping through their town every other weekend, demanding tithe to their liege lord. You know what I mean? You guys are impressive sight, but they don't recoil in fear, and they don't automatically call the cops, especially with those armbands. Not saying it's a free pass to take our stuff, but those little armbands, yeah, they looked at Garen, he looked at his food. He listened to Niles, you know, and then he sees it. You're both wearing Fex badges, and it's just kind of like, he just waits till you guys stop paying attention and just kind of blends in with the crowd. Tithe.
For the, I guess I'll call it the sermon that's going to be happening.
Yep.
That we're all waiting for.
Yep.
I presume it'll be the speaker, priest, priestess, whatever you want to call them.
The priestess, yep. They call her the
first.
We'll
be coming from the north. Through the gates where the captain and guards are?
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
She'll be appearing up there on the balcony.
Okay. I will make my way to, I think that is a fountain.
There is a well on the west. Well. Yeah. Okay. Yep. That's a well. Yep.
That's where I will go.
All right. You want to just slide your guy over there? And
yep. Just walk through, not moving for anybody, just straight path. Out of my way.
I love the archetype that you've chosen, the living grimoire, where you've chosen to, this book doesn't have to be chained to you, but you've got that great big iron chain around your waist and it goes to like the book, or you get the what do you call it, the briefcase with the handcuff. Yeah. How big is this thing?
It's the size of a normal religious text,
like smack size. So, like
it's not, yeah, smack size.
It's not the ye olde western little, you know, thank you, Padre, click in one hand. We're talking like a wizard's tome, like the things. Yeah. A little bit more than 8x11, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 8x11 by like 6 inches thick. So yeah.
And it's bound in metal, isn't it?
Yes.
Cool. All right. Striding off, breaking from the party. Two guys are schmoozing. And that leaves Simri. Anything you wish to do before this gets rolling?
Other than observing the man of faith and just feeling sorry that he had to be a man of the cloth with, you know. She'll probably just blast through the crowd, pushing as many people as she can, you know, shoulder bumping and getting to the front, looking proud, taking, you know, the superwoman pose, just looking around, feeling like a badass.
All right. Right at the front gate. Are we possibly trying to make some kind of statement against our aunt, or just are we trying to be a walking little diversion, I wonder? You don't have to answer those. Just speculation. Sure enough, the time has come. Quite amusing. The two guards, as we thought, are actually twins. Two tall, strapping young men, dressed as knights with the clerical tabards of the faith of Imode, or Imodians, as Roslago, you know, sneeringly called them. I give you Lauren and Lacall.
Birdie looking fellows.
Ta-da! One in brown cloak with green trim, one in blue cloak with gold trim, both wearing chainmail with the blazing starburst of a sword through it of Asmodean on the chest, both carrying a mace. And with the other hand, decked out in armor as they are, they're carrying a table. And they bring this table down to the front and a little bit closer to the gate, but they don't actually go through the gate itself. So these guys roll right up about 10 feet from the church edge, about 5 feet from the gate, and they, for lack of actually having a table mini, plant a table between them. On this table is a large case. As they get in position, with that few moments for you guys to wander and linger, I would like you to populate the map in your mind more. Triple the number of people have finally sort of, oh, it's something's going on, and they just start coming out of buildings and drop their business and just, you know, fill in the back of the square a lot like it's filled in here. A good 30 to 50 citizens. Easy.
I'll work my way before the crowd really gathers up to beside Simri.
Okay. Final positions, please. So, off the gate, 10 feet away, we got Simri and our Damphir on the front. Over to the east, we have Garion and the Professor kind of lingering on the edge of the crowd. And behind them, on the west side, to the Damphir's left, back by the well, and a few stragglers, we have Tyth the Tiefling. A middle-aged, possibly, Kadirin woman? By her skin tones and style of dress, has a, to our world, sort of an Arabic feel, flowing robes popping out around the armor. This must be the first knight, Alamar. And let me get you. Think of Joan of Arc and Prince of Persia had a daughter and grew up to be this woman. Sword, large shield, a breastplate emblazoned with the symbol, the starburst behind the sword of Imodian, but sort of a Lawrence of Arabia headdress with the sort of hood on the sides, but the headband wrapping up a tight lid and the sort of crescent spike overreaching from the back. Pale cream robes with gold trim slit to the side for easy movements, and like I said, sort of like somewhere between Catapeshian and Andarian armor slapped on top. Interesting. She comes out on a balcony about 10-15 feet up, 15 feet away from the gate itself, and in a voice that seems to be used to having sort of a sermon hall backing her acoustics, speaks out and over the crowd as best she can.
Friends and neighbors, I have wondrous tidings to share. We have all known hardships in our lives, needless sorrows, injustice, even cruelty. Indeed, such is the struggle of all who live. But many among us have known more than our share.
And she slowly eyelids the crowd for a moment. Many among us have shouldered burdens laid upon them not by the inheritor. Knowledge religion, gentlemen. But by those who would curse her name and taunt her faithful.
14.
The inheritor is sort of a title the faithful of Imode call her. Because she was once a mortal who actually ascended to godhood. A long pause. Not just because I lost my virtual background and I feel naked in front of my green screen. Letting this sort of woe is us vibe seep into the crowd. They start looking at each other like, where is she going with this? But today, I bear a missive from champions of Imode's faith, heralds of the goddess's will, who know your troubles and would see them end. Alamar gestures now down to her twin sons, Lauren and Lacall, who carry that box swaddled in a light linen. Whipping off the linen, the case revealed between them, on the table, they unfurl a roll of parchment. Not something you guys can actually see the text of. Perhaps people know this was coming. Perhaps it's a religious item. It doesn't seem to make any sense at this moment. She raises her voice again. I received this letter last night. People of Long Acre, the time of your redemption is at hand. When the song of the inheritor rises, you all must choose. Live as complacent vessels of corruption and evil, or embrace honor and claim the glory that is your right. The glorious reclamation gives you this chance. Signed, Laurentia Vericerine, Knight Inheritor of the Glorious Reclamation. She says, finishing quoting the letter, friends, it is up to us to resolve the worship, to restore our faith of Imode to its proper place here in Chiliax and reclaim our nation in the name of the Inheritor. But we have also been given a sign that the Angel Knight has come to Long Acre to lead us to glory. Suddenly, with a flourish, Alamar's sons lift the box lid and the front drops out, revealing an ornate silver helmet sculptured with angelic features and a halo of curls. The faceplate is a full sculptured face with eyeless hollows that stare sternly into the crowd. The crowd gives off a gasp and a murmur, and they all pause beyond the gate to sort of let everybody take the spectacle in. And this is what it looks like. This is actually a functioning helmet that someone can wear. It completely
eerily similar to my mask.
Yes, eerily. That was good. You, sir, are you one of the faithful? I drink with them, you know, he says.
No, I'd say I drink of them.
A drink of them, yeah. I know some stuff. Now, the crowd starts murmuring. You're not sure what they're talking about at the moment. Does anyone want to start doing the perception, the lean in, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
Okay, perception, guys.
Okay.
10.
Woo.
15.
16.
3.
Okay.
Garen got a 17. Ooh.
They're talking about how the timing, how last night rumors spread like wildfire that several of their citizens were killed unjustly and their bodies left around their workplace at the tannery. Others murmur about such things that they'd heard of recently. The truth of it. You know, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Did you hear how the Imodians have actually stormed one of the Hell Knight's keeps and have held it, reclaiming some artifact, and now they wish to actually engage the Hell Knights and the Queen's forces and have begun raiding along our borders? Others say, like, well, that's a ways from here, man. You're not going to have any other knights. And they cut them off going, look, you know, apparently they're sending servants. They're sending signs. There are faithful here, right here in our town. You know, could this become a war zone? Could this become a rebellion? And then there's a lot of poking of shoulders and, hey, check this out, check this out, there's more. While you guys are pondering the helmet and everyone looking around, some more faithful come out and they bring coffins. 1, 2, 3. Lay them out on the east side, right in front of the graveyard. Tilt them up and display what you guys left of 3 tannery workers. Do you remember last night? Before the drunken haze, that was the celebration. Jabral Ursic, Shal Umbre, Pipa Umbre, shall be remembered as hardworking citizens, and this tragedy shall not be forgotten. The twins practically say this in unison, and again, the crowd starts to murmur. Guys, can I have sense motive all around, please?
2, 13, 5.
Garing got a 14.
Tithe?
12.
Garion, you've started riots. You've been the cause of them. You know the tide of battle from civilians. And these guys, there's some obviously some interesting poking and turning of the coals, but I'll think a lot more is going to happen. These people have been under the oppressive boot far too long for a couple of bodies, and they're coming to save us, and a little helmet to, like, suddenly set off any kind of major rebellion overnight kind of thing.
So these guys here trying to start a fight?
It sounds like they're trying to turn the citizens against the local lord, or perhaps the local religion, at least. The state religion is Asmodeus, and these people all worship this other goddess.
Garion will turn to his friend who offered him up the meat snack. Kind of clap him on the shoulder.
These pretty boys want you to die for them, don't you? I see no houses burn, yet you want to pick a fight? You want to burn houses?
He'll turn to the guy with the offered up his meat snack, his new friend.
Yeah, yeah.
They want you to die for them, so they don't have to.
Bluff, diplomacy, intimidate, or perform oratory. Garion actually has a very good point. Would you like to use any of these skills to get this across, Garion?
No, I would like someone who's better at them to do them.
No, you
don't. Allow me to translate.
All right, so Garion will kind of turn to the couple near Mr. Meat Snick.
Yeah,
Stick.
Yeah, yeah.
They want you to fight and die. Would you fight? Rah!
Would you fight me?
Intimidate. Professor, are you going to take this
12.
Thread? 12. I will aid with the diplomacy, of course.
Okay, well, he's intimidating, so diplomacy, well, you're kind of on your own. He raises a good question. Like I said, this is a little spark, now, Garion's counter spark. You guys could fan this and run through and, like, you know, start a big counter argument.
The large man, he brings up a very interesting point.
Hey, there you go.
You say you are coming to free them from their chains, but you did no better to protect those men than the Baron himself has done. Where were you then? Sounds like empty promise to me.
Picking up what the boys are saying, Simri garners a bit more courage with her fellows and steps forward and goes, "These men have a point. You have done nothing for us. You stand behind your fences like caged, scared animals. We have great protectors already, but it sounds like you want us to rebel against them. There is no war here. As you stated, people come here to escape said things. We live a moderately peaceful existence. Why should we look at this tin bucket and change our minds?"
I'm just going to say you guys are all shaking your fists while you're saying this. Can I have intimidates all around?
Sure.
Why? Well, it is accusing statement, so we'll go with, we'll go with intimidate, guys.
Indeed. I received my education in Igorian, in the field of chemistry, medicine which I used to cure our citizens of ailments. You would seek to end this? The healing of our citizens? Is this what you wish?
Nicely done, sir. What'd you get for your intimidate?
Not good.
Not good!
Oh,
16.
Not bad.
That's not bad. Okay.
Nikolai got a 19.
before I get into that, notice your positions. You two are right up on the front of the gate, so everyone all facing you two, right, can hear you guys clearly, and you're yelling right over the gate. Garion's on the side here. Professor, he's working a smaller crowd, but his voice carries, okay? Let's start with Tithe. In the back, Tithe, at the well, first thing you noticed that was very obvious from your position is as soon as the sermon ended, several people just went, okay, show's over, and left. Like, right away, we just lost, like, easily half the crowd, if not at least a third of it, just like that. They're like, all right, that's, you know, dead bodies, yeah. It is Longacre. I mean, it is Cheliax. Sermon's over, they say, and they go back to their grungy little lives. However, at least half this crowd, if not more, are, you know, huddling up and talking in harsh whispers and that kind of thing. And then your guys start leaning in. Is there anything you wish to do besides observe, sir?
I'll just observe for now.
Okay.
And good. We'll see what happens in, like, game time?
Perception? Yeah. Hold on. That's always good to have Overwatch, right? You put himself back there, right? So, perception, sir?
Oh, jeez. Sure, but that one. That was a big weapon.
Six. Yeah. You Six. Turned around and it's like, if you hadn't been actually two-thirds of the way up in the crowd and, like, everything behind you just emptied, you would not have noticed that most of the people left.
Yeah.
Is this a well or a fountain? I'm still debating.
I'm so thirsty.
So, good points. Okay. And people stop talking and listen to you guys and then start discussing your points. It's almost as if by the end of it, you guys have, I wouldn't say completely countered, but certainly kept, you know, whatever this instance or instigation might have been at bay. Now, I'm just going to meta for a second here, just so as players, you guys know what you're up against. This town of Longacre is going to go on a little chart that I have. And as instances like this pop up, the townspeople gain or lose points towards, we're not going to use the R word just yet. You guys can keep those points from happening, and you can also sort of minus points from the town's tally by countering or running around doing your own little things, side missions and things that will pop up in this adventure, including taking your own initiative. However, as you would think, you know, if you guys go full Gestapo and just start disappearing people, kicking in doors, doing things in the bright of day, that would probably make people wanting to start listening about hope and faith and somebody coming to save their butts, because the current Longacre, with you guys in it, could also be far worse because of your actions. So, I would say a good tie, if not a win for the party at this current moment. They leave the helmet there, well guarded, but they leave it there for about 15 minutes before they take it in. Some people, like, go up to the fence and have a good look through the bars, you know, that kind of thing. They look at the bodies. Some people that knew the actual tanner, you know, there's some patting of shoulders and someone bursting into tears right at the gate there, or a bunch of shaking heads. And, you know, people go up to the sheriff and talk to her. Some are demanding, what are you going to do about this? Referring to the bodies. Is there an investigation? That type of thing. And other people are like, hey, you know, like, if people are not safe outside of town, I can deputy on the weekend, you know, that kind of thing. There's help and hindrance coming from the townsfolk. And yeah, some of the hindrance is actually because of you guys and what you're saying and doing. So,
I would like to offer.
Yes.
To, when we hear the wailing and the chest beating of the dead bodies from the tannery.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a professor from Igorian in this town who could help do some post-mortem work.
Who are you addressing? Are you just talking about yourself in the third person to the people around you, or?
It's always third person.
Okay.
That's Garion's job.
So, you like you said, you drift over to the people that seem upset about the bodies and just kind of offer this up?
No, it's like my soliloquy, but, you know, it's like aloud.
As he's walking over, he just, we do have a solution.
Yeah, right? I could offer my assistance in resolving what happened to these poor tanners.
All right. Can I have diplomacy, sir?
Certainly.
Or is that a bluff? You're like lying. You're actually a quack.
No, diplomacy.
Okay.
I am offering my legitimate skills.
All right.
I did go to the university. I did teach. I did these things. 13.
Okay. The people like this idea. And they're actually... Yeah. yeah, go ahead. You know, the bodies are in the clergy's possession. I would petition them to see the bodies or the sheriff. You know, but they're like, we'll back you. Not so enough that like we'll go with you and say yeah. But these people are like, yeah, we have no objection of a third party besides the Imodians or the sheriff doing an extra investigation. Why not? Yeah, get in there. You know, you go approach the officials, please. Oh yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah. Well, best yes man money can buy. Diplomacy can buy.
Niles will shuffle his way.
Okay.
You know, hunched over as he is. He's 5'2", but really, you look at him, you think he's like 4'9".
Garion just hang out with you and make himself look bigger.
Garion is double the man that Niles is.
That's awesome.
Ronan?
Sorry?
The Simri's aunt.
Oh,
the sheriff.
Oh, Rhonda.
Rhonda.
Rhonda Stalish.
Rhonda.
Oh, sorry, Rhona. No, you're right. Not, yeah, Rhona.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. All right.
Very similar to something else we've been hearing a lot about lately.
My Rhona.
Yeah, the hardware store, Rhona. Yeah, that's what we're going with.
Miss Sheriff.
Okay, so you wander past everybody over to the sheriff. There you go. Yep.
I see your town is in a bit of a plight at this moment. Ma'am.
Indeed. And she's talking to a small crowd of people that are all, like you said, as I said earlier, some are like, hey, let's do something. Some people are like, what are you doing about this, right? So just add to the crowd there.
I am a professor from Igorian. I studied anatomy and physiology. The body to the layman. I was pondering to myself that perhaps I would be able to offer my assistance of my expertise and your research and your investigation.
Now, she's stated, sorry, someone has stated, I think it was the church or Rhonda, I'm pretty sure I did as a GM, that, you know, boohoo, people have died, we're looking into this, right? The church have custody of the bodies, so I guess they were not Asmodean worshippers, and they will probably be interned here at the church, and they have their own investigation. The law is neutral, can aid in that investigation, and have their own. It's not lost on her that you, representing the Baron in your little sash, walks up and going, hey, you know, I represent the state, or thereof, and the state would also like to have, you know, a federal investigation. Though looking very warily at you, like you can literally see the sense motive roll up in her eyes as she looks you up and down. She says, yes, if you are accompanied by one of my deputies as a neutral party, I can get you access. Since the Imodians already have investigated and interned the body, it's not likely they're going to want you in there on your own.
I am not against collaboration at any stretch of the imagination, as long as you have yourself an indentured, educated individual to serve as this ombudsman. I think this would be very satisfactory for all parties involved. And I make a non-stealthy wave towards the people.
Towards the people. She lifts her leather gauntleted hand straight up in the air with two fingers and makes a circling motion twice. And one of the two deputies, the one on the east wall, hops to and comes over and says, I'm here, ma'am. Yes. Take Mr. And she inclines her head towards you.
Cronenberg. Professor Cronenberg.
Take the professor, she says dryly, inside the compound at my bequest. He is inducting his own investigation on perhaps the Archbaron himself, she says, asking you to, you know, like you are legally binding, saying I work for the Archbaron.
The people.
For the people. The people.
I will be inquisiting this as my own independent research, which would be open to all parties to review and debuke.
Then why the sash?
Have you ever done research work?
Yes.
You need funding.
The people might think that you're biased.
I will make sure it's in my paper to declare I'm doing this as an independent and be by no means be bipartisan in my decisions.
Yeah, let him. Why, about time the Baron got involved, Baron sure wasn't there last night to save them, blah, blah, blah. You know, and even some people are like coming at you going, where were you last night? Like, just looking at a dead body doesn't help us, guy that has the Baron's sash. Anyway, she steps up and holds them back. Hey, let's go keep a level head here, y'all, you know, type of thing, so and so. Such and such may be proudly wearing the colors of our, she says, Arch Baron. And I will, you know, no ruckus. So, proving her worth, like, neutral to the party, she doesn't let the rabble-rouser rabble-rouse you, either. Anyway,
never did.
The deputy, come on with me then, you know, takes you in through the gate, and, you know, in plain public view, because they're laying out here in the sun, with him keeping a close eye on you, you're happy to examine the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look, there's the one you killed yourself. Look at that right there. The old guy, the old woman.
Yeah.
Take some samples.
It's like as I pull the Velcro bag, you open it up, and like the 24 worth of medical tools.
Just
even the one where you're like, what does that one do?
Yeah, exactly.
Nikolai will slide over and take the professor's place on Gary and watch.
Okay.
I want that helmet.
I'm sure you do. I don't think it would fit, my friend.
That's a pretty face.
He cuddles it at night like a teddy bear. So what do you guys want to do up front there? sure, it's mine now. Just immediately throw Simri over the gate like it was last night, right? Yep, go get that for me, will you? So what do you guys want to do on the front line here? People are still talking to you.
Keep Gary in out of trouble and address anybody who approaches. You know,
he openly states he wants that helmet, and it looks like they're slowly packing it up now after the 15-minute mark to take it in.
Crazy. I'll just put my hand on his arm. Perhaps later, my friend. This is not the time.
All right. He begins to scan the crowd for more meat sticks.
Okay. People are carrying buckets, their wares, bundles of sticks, and yeah, like, you know, sellable and possible consumable items on their person. Gary just starts wading into the crowd, not making any points for the Baron, as they take this as some kind of tax collection, you realize, Nikolai. Simri. He's just plucking stuff with the big fat arm that has the sash, and people look pissed, but they don't complain, and they let him
just
have it.
Looking. I didn't say I was like robbing everybody.
Here's your choice.
Well, I would stop him when he reaches for the first. If he's going for food, I'd stop him. Find a place to get some food for the guy.
Yeah. Feed me. He's just, sorry. You're right, Frank. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
He is very directable. Look, a shiny thing.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, so that was a delay. I'll wander the cloud, and this is what you see him looking at, unless you change his course. Sorry, my apologies. Yeah,
so scary and going for the food? Meat stick.
Yeah, do you have a carrot on a stick and some tape? This could be solved real easy.
There you go.
So I'll just be like, great idea, Garion. Let's go get some food. This way, my friend, and I'll lead him towards a meat stick stall.
Okay.
Random vendor X.
So we're not going for the steal the helmet caper. We're not trying to just disperse the crowd. Nothing to see here. You guys heard them stirring themselves up, and you guys tried to counter. Not a bad move. And now we have the good professor sort of playing the innocent part. You know, I can even see him with the smoke goggles that he'll pull off at the end of the actual, you know, kneel down beside the body, right?
I will find the semen.
There you go. You guys just see like the deputies with him, like just retching over the side of the gate. The professor's talking about his procedure, what he's doing. Lauren and Lacalle just look on from afar.
I did ask for an experienced autonomist.
Yes. So, is there anything you guys want to do before Simri begins to encourage you to report back to Res Largo?
You said steal the, steal the helmet, counter.
I'm not saying you have to do this stuff. You mentioned stealing the helmet. You mentioned stealing the helmet. And like I said, this is, you guys are in sandbox mode.
I'm just wondering if we have objectives.
They leave this open. They have mentioned you guys might want to steal the helmet. They have mentioned you guys just going, nothing to see here. They have mentioned you guys openly trying to assassinate the chick before she even finished the sermon. Like, they've covered a lot of stuff, so it's not really... It's a choose-your-own-adventure at this point. There's not, like, hit all objectives. It's kind of like, you guys chose to do this, and they've mentioned 10 things you guys might have done at the same time. I mean, there's a sniper's nest, there's a card of tar that's so flammable, and they're like, yeah, show them this stuff, okay, you know. And this is very meta. I mean, it's kind of bad form for me just to point this out early, but we've never really played an Evil Adventure, and you'd be surprised how, like, you play the heroes, like, what, you know, is there something expected of you? So just this once, you know, you guys had free reign in the tannery, get the money, you decide to kill them. Out you went. Now they're saying, people died, and there are the bodies, right? Now there's this holy war brewing on the border, and apparently the messenger of such is coming to town, and the faithful of such are going, yay, everybody! Are you going to be ready when they come? You know, that kind of thing. I will tell you this, as far as a mechanical standby, because people that haven't played Hell's Vengeance are like, well, what about the Rebellion? We want to hear about the Rebellion, right? If you guys stood there and did nothing, the town would gain 3 Rebellion points in the speech's aftermath of stuff that just starts happening amongst these people.
So just to be clear, we're trying to prevent that, right?
Yeah. Basically, when the town gets to a certain level of rebellion points, full rebellion occurs, right? So you guys are trying to keep that number low. Anyway.
Oh, then Garion will walk through the crowd then. Sorry, misunderstood. I thought we were trying to stir up shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, no.
And poke people. Are you going to die for them?
Yeah,
that's what I was
asking.
You?
That's what I was asking for. Intimidate, right? So, the counter orientation, right? So, give me some rolls here.
We'll just walk through the crowd, trying to find the one person that says, "I'll die for him." Crush.
You squish him. You just murdered.
Come save this one. Come save him.
Seriously, one guy stands up, and you're just gonna start a brawl in the center of town, daylight, in front of the cops, in front of the church.
Maybe not kill him. Just. See what his teeth taste like.
I did say brawl. I didn't say murder.
Yeah, right.
Say murder, but then I just quickly switched to brawl.
So what am I doing? Making random intimidate
Making
rolls?
Random checks. Sense motive from the rest of the party, because especially Niles will give you a +2. You're his friend. You know where this is going to go. Niles is completely
Niles
absorbed.
Is there,
Niles is absorbed.
I've slid into Gary and babysitting.
Yeah, I know. Tithe, man, you're sitting back here, and it's like, you know, people are doing this, people are doing that, you know.
19.
21.
You.
I don't want to die. Natural
20.
I just don't want to die.
He's good. Beady little, almost porcine eyes looking around.
Tithe, 10 people away in the direct path of Garion is a burly kind of farmer, and he's eyeballing him, and he's like, you know, rolling up the sleeves and clutching his chest where the holy symbol is probably under his shirt. And it's like, okay. That's
I'll
not gonna
point him out to Garion.
Point one.
Well, you guys are just leaning right into this, right? All right. Yeah.
Next intimidate 23.
Sinner. All right. People don't want to die, and then Garion, you know, Tithe raising his voice above the crowd, pointing at some big dude near him near the well. Actually, when Tice speaks, that guy, Sinner, like, the crowd all turns and parts. They part for Garion, and now you have that Indiana Jones scene where you got, like, the two guys and the whole town just spreads apart. So up rolls this, you know, common guy, big dude, you know, lots of muscle, years of farming on him kind of thing, and as he rolls up on you, he closes the gap. He's 30 feet away. 10 dudes, they get out of the way. This guy rolls up 15 feet, and as he does, he pulls out a wooden handmade symbol of Imode.
Oh, I pull out a forged 7-foot long sword.
It's okay. I wore my brown pants.
I too worship.
And he'll set his sword down,
but I don't need to dirty that for you.
That's awesome. He pulls his sword. The crowd goes, and then he puts it down. They all go, oh, right. It's that big, what the hell? And then he puts it on the ground. Oh, okay.
And you said he does look confrontational.
Yeah, dude. Like, he just rolls right up like he's about to lay into a speech or something, but I just let you roll. It's just like, you close the gap, out comes the sword. Everyone stops, including the guy. Everyone just can't believe what you're doing. Then you just lay it on the ground. Not for you, you say. And he gives you that sort of respectful nod. Right? Points at the church, and as he closes the gaps, balling up a fist, right? Now, again, he's not running at you. He's not charging like he's going to hit you. He just balls up a fist with one hand, like shaking at you, and point at the church and says,
is there a way to cast stealthily?
I believe that's a feat called conceal casting.
Yeah. Well, considering, like, now 80% of the crowd, thanks to Tithe, him, sinner, what? And the crowd, like, the big guy just start, you know, people, the Titans are merging. You got 80%, 90% of this crowd all turning their backs on you going, huh?
Okay. I would like to cast Low Blow on Farmer Joe.
Oh, wow. Okay. What's the range?
It is
30 feet.
20, yeah, 30 feet.
Okay. So you cast. This guy launches into his whatever rant he was about to do with the church. That institution has stood proud and kept our crops and our people safe amongst this tyranny. The Baron, Oz, that filthy faith of his in the country, blah, 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 this type of thing. We support him, Odie. We have freedom. Freedom of speech! It just falls over in a heap. I got a saving throw, right?
DC 14, fortitude negates.
Three, as I was saying. This dude collapses.
Painful Garion. Contusion of the groin. Target takes 1 point of bludgeoning damage and becomes sickened for a round.
Yeah, like, dude just doubles over. The guy's 10 feet from you, and he just kind of, like, stalls and is distracted. What do you do, Garion?
As you can all see, we don't have to raise our hands against these heathens. Those who go against Calistria and our Baron will be struck down.
Garion was on the verge of stepping forward, and yep. The words just kind of stop him and deflate him, like someone has stolen his thunder. Fine.
No fun when they're, like, handicapped, right?
Leans over him. Nutless farmer. Reaches down, picks his sword back up, and he'll walk off.
Okay. The guy recovers himself, and as you're turning away to get your sword, he, like, swats you, like, get off me, man! What the hell? Looking all around. Wonder if he, like, stepped on a twig and a stone snapped up under his belt, or what the hell's going on? Like, he's just kind of trying to figure out what the source was, right? Tithe? You know, play favorites? It was him! You know, just keep the... No? Keep the momentum going. It was him. Tithe does not play favorites. All right. Do you guys want to, like, you know, show's over. At this point, there is some dispersion. People are talking in little groups or whatever, but it wears on. You know, the minutes tick by. There's Professor Beyond the Gate with one dude looking at the bodies. The sheriff's still there to answer some questions, but the majority of people at this point just start leaving, or they really don't want to be here and be the next target to whatever weird stuff keeps happening. You guys are here. You're here to stay.
We're waiting for the professor to finish his examination. I'll take Garion over to a food stall and, you know, buy it, like, I don't know how much for a dozen meat sticks, you know.
Oh yeah. get your copper's worth in, right? Bulk food. The bulk food wagon, right? I'm a proud supporter of the Baron. You can have it to 20% off, sir. Here, have these nutty buddies. And gives you, like, a whack of bread. And it's like, instead of your baker's dozen, you get, like, 14, 20% off.
Garion just starts eating. I was going to kill him.
I'll pay full price, like, the full price, and say, keep the 20% for a tip.
Thank you.
Baron appreciates your patronage.
Instead of 10 and giving you 12, there's the dozen, and he gives you 14, because, like, even these guys can't do math, so, you know, you give him extra coin, he just lights up. Oh, thank you, sir. That's very much appreciated. You know, the afternoon begins to wear on. For free, Simri, your auntie, she's dealing with people and blah, blah, blah. But if she's not watching you, you notice that one deputy is constantly got his eyes on you and you alone. Anyway, is there anything else you guys wish to accomplish right here and now or today? Technically, if you guys want to follow a mission, you were to, like, observe, report. You guys want to head back?
Yeah.
I was going to ask how many eyes were on that helmet, but I'm assuming that the guard boys are still there.
They took it back in 15 minutes, so, like I said, unless you guys wanted to use, like, there's a couple distractions, like the fight or whatever, somebody like, oh, and I go for the helmet now, then...
We will take the helmet when we slay all of the Church of Imode. It's simple.
Kill them. It works. It's effective.
Best not to do this in front of the crowd. I mean, it would not bode well for the Baron.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I do believe we've gotten the Baron's point across. We should probably head back.
Three rebellion points stir within the crowd. -1 for everyone jumping in on Garion's lead, and some excellent diplomacy intimidation on behalf of the professor for the win at 16, and you guys all fumbling with the aids and role-playing nicely done, and dispersing the crowd. That little scene, right? The guy gets taken out. The beast man didn't even go to him. People are weirded out. And then we go over and just start feeding the monster. And for like, they're just, you know what? A bunch more people leave. And we'll just say point pending. Maybe two. Solid two, you know? I think I'll maybe even hang on to that in case we get to another gray one and we'll just give you them. You know what I'm saying? But well done. Like I said, doing nothing would have gone up 3 points. At least this way they're clinging to the one. Meanwhile, after the sermon, heading back to the tea house a short while later, once again in front of that beastly of a dog and Reslargo's screens. You guys tell him what went down. He takes it all in, and then sitting back, this is my screen effect, that small dramatic a move than I expected from a country priestess. I'm impressed. Tilivia Alamar might be more interesting than I thought. It's the helmet and this angel knight, though, I'm curious about. I've heard rumors of the glorious reclamation. An overzealous mob of Emodian fanatics calling for a nationwide revolution. As if there was a way that any hope of that would stand. Still, Archbaron Fex might find this information quite valuable. And in any case, you've done well. You will find your payment in the parlor. I shouldn't have any more work for you today, but I suspect that might change tomorrow. I will send word. And there's that sort of, off you go, pointing at the door.
Thank you, Baron.
Does anyone have any questions? He's not the Baron, he's Reslargo.
Sorry. Thank you, Reslargo. That's okay.
Nope. Job well done.
Yay.
No questions about the reclamation, about the people you've encouraged, anything like that? You don't have to. Care. I'm just being sure.
It's another day.
Soon this town will burn.
Okay. In the chest.
No, what?
In the chest in the parlor, 200 pieces of gold await you.
Cha-ching, bitches.
Cha-ching. 800 XP for 10 inch Revely Almar's sermon, and an additional 400 for every rebellion point that you guys subtract for a total of 1,600. We are using the tier system, but I thought it would be interesting to reiterate the actual point system for evil guys. How much XP do we get for doing the things we get? There's nothing here for murder. There's no how much XP is Bob worth for killing him. The XP comes in story form, just like a regular one. 800 for showing up. 400 for everything you do that might counter what the good guys did. So, with that, guys, once again, 200 gold and an evening stretching out before you. What do you do?
I poke at cadavers.
I'm going to kill a farmer.
Okay.
I should spend some time communing with my patron.
All right.
And I'll withdraw, taking my share of the earnings.
All right. The scene draws back from the tea house, back across town, back to the church, where a very tired deputy holding a lantern over the professor, who's finally on his third body, working at night, just as excited as he was the first 5 minutes in, eviscerating, examining, and making no apologies for the mess he's making. And we will see you next time on the Foul Play podcast, Hell's Vengeance, the first edition Adventure Path. Say goodnight, Garion.
Good night. Go to bed.